Welcome to the Supercoach Champions podcast with your hosts, Wilfred Z, Joe Fitz, and other Supercoach champions.
Hello and welcome to the NRL Supercoach Champions podcast. I'm Joe Fitz. Like waiting for a bus, no great cheapies for weeks and all of a sudden a bunch come along at once. Iroh, Martin, even Schiller and Galvin still have big negative break-evens. So what the hell do you have to say for yourself, Sam Hughes? What about you, Farmer Silly? And has anyone seen Jacob Gagai? Here to explain why boosts are overrated and why you should probably use them all up ASAP, it's Wilf.
Hey, Joe. Look, I have good news. I have not burnt my fourth boost yet. I've only used three. And look, I've heard that if you burn boost, that actually helps your rank go higher. So some people are pretty much out already and they are ranked much higher than we are. So, hey, what do I know?
What could possibly go wrong?
Exactly. Having said that, we're both heading in the right direction finally, right?
It took a fair while, and I won't say I'm proud of either of our ranks, but yes, green arrows the last few weeks.
Before we get to that, though, let's have a think. You kind of alluded to probably one of the big talking points for this week, and really the burning question is, do we chase the cash, right? As you said, we thought for ages this is going to be a doom and gloom year, not much cash generation, and here we are seven rounds in. I feel like half my trades have been used on guys with negative break-evens, and I've got to burn another couple more.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we were necessarily wrong when we kind of forecast that because, you know, some of those names, we've had plenty of crap cash cows to start the year. The problem is the good ones have taken a few rounds to kind of come along. So, yeah, do we have to chase the cash? I think depending on how many duds you had to move out of your side pretty quickly, you know, in the early rounds and whether they were generating your cash or not. I mean, you and I both started with Farmer Silly and we had to move on him pretty quickly. A lot of people still have Jacob Gagai kind of sitting in their side and it's even looking like Talangi, who was as recently as 2 weeks ago, was kind of a gold-plated cheapie, is now kind of a bench utility this week, spoiler alert. So, I mean, things change pretty quickly, but I think the most important thing pre-Origin 1 as you go into Phase 2 of the year is to get your cash generation right and your team value up. So I probably am erring on the side of risking it and getting those guys and chasing the cash.
I think this is where, and look, it's cliche, but you do have to work out what's suited for your team, right? Because if you've been really good so far and you nailed a lot of the right cheapies and, you know, you're patient where you needed to be and all of that, there's a chance that maybe your cash generation, your team value is actually quite healthy already, and it's less imperative for you to obviously have to chase the money. On the flip side, if you've been really unlucky, you've missed all the big earners, and here you are still, you know, maybe your team value is sitting sub 12 million or whatever, and you're really struggling, like that's where you've got to really go hard. And anytime there's a big negative break even, you just got to burn the trade, burn the boost to make sure you get it in.
Yeah, we're more than halfway to the first buy to Origin 1 as well, so that's starting to be a consideration. I mean, are you, you know, the people that brought James Schiller in last week, it was, you know, for 1 week kind of mega windfall. Thankfully, it looks like that's going to be a two-week mega windfall for us, but I don't think anyone was anticipating that he'd be sticking around in our teams until round 13. You know, the Lachlan Galvins of the world, you know, the Tigers don't play the first buy. So, you know, why are you bringing these cheapies in? Are you bringing them with an eye on having an extra number? And it's a good young player at a good value that, yes, you're going to, you cull them for a cash appreciation later in the year. But, you know, we're only 6 weeks out of the first buy, and getting the right cheapie that's going to play that week as well can be a big factor in your ranking going up that week.
Yeah, absolutely. So, look, I think that's enough chat on that particular issue. Let's take a quick closer look at how this round's just gone.
What happened?
Oh! From the Bulga! Gone off our cock!
No!
Sit down, there is no party!
Let's review the round.
All right, so, yeah, 12:01 for me this round, which, you know, I copped another early mid-game injury with Totola going down, scoring seven. So, look, I'm pretty happy overall. All the way up to 57,000, top 40% finally.
I'm sitting in the top 42%, mate. So, yeah, your 1201 got you 57K. My 1211 got me up to 63K. So not too far behind, but sizable green arrows. I think, you know, maybe our luck is turning a little bit. You know, neither of us had a hammer. And, you know, that's one of the only, one of the first injuries by a popular player that I've dodged this this year. So, yeah, things are looking up.
Yeah, and probably first time in many, many weeks where we can finally say, oh, it's a good thing we didn't have Hammer because he's been blitzing it so far.
Yeah.
But look, aside from us, obviously the champs doing much better than us. Look, I think we joked about it, but genuinely I think we are in the champs only group. I think I'm eighth last out of all the champs and you're sixth last, which the lower number is bad for you, by the way.
Yeah, I figured that, mate. But we'll turn it around.
But look, the $500 champs only bonus leader, it's Alex, the coach of Rugby League Realm. If you guys haven't seen, he's on Twitter, he's on Instagram, or X, sorry, not Twitter. But yeah, he's obviously doing really, really fantastic. He's been a champ from really, really early days. But yeah, congrats, Alex. Obviously, 29th at this stage of the season is awesome. You know, not to segue into a chance to talk about 2016, but I will, because I think when I got up to, you know, around about round 7, 8, 9 is when I pushed into the top 50 or top 10 even. And once you're in there, you're in prime position to make some smart moves and stay there. So good luck, Alex. Obviously, this is the tough part of trying to climb that mountain and obviously keep yourself one step ahead of everyone else. So good luck. Having said that, we haven't really looked at leagues for a while. I think the main reason being because I think all the leagues for all the various groups and Supercoach podcasts and all that type of stuff, everyone started really poorly. But as they say, the cream rises. And we're going to quickly shout out the SC Champs Tragics League, which is currently fourth overall for real leagues, which is 20-team leagues, of course. And really, surprisingly, you and I are both in that league, and somehow this league is still coming fourth overall. So
we're not that bad. That should be the that's the new tagline for the show. Not that bad.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, imagine what happens when we finally pull our fingers out and you know, get up to the more respectable rankings. We might be in with a shot to take our overall league. All right, so I guess I wanted to talk about a little bit of a three-peat of contract-related news. So one is Joey Manu committing to Japanese Rugby Union at the end of this year. So 2024 is last season in the NRL for now, and he's obviously departing the Roosters. Terrell May, better news for the Roosters in that he's extended his stay with them until the end of 2026. And the other big news, I think, for Supercoach or whatever, is Zach Lomax to the Eels from 2025 onwards. There's still rumours, whispers. I mean, let's just face it. If they can find a way to get Zach Lomax to their clubs, they don't have to play Morgan Harper in the centres. I imagine they're going to try to do that. The question is obviously, who do the Dragons get in return before they would even consider parting ways with Lomax right now? But look, three pretty relevant Supercoach players for this year. Now that they've kind of secured their, you know, their future next year onwards, I mean, does this pose any concerns for you from a Supercoach perspective? We saw what happened when Taylor May signed his extension a couple of weeks ago. His scoring certainly has dropped since then.
Yeah, it's a scourge of you know, fantasy players everywhere, not just in Supercoach, but you know, anyone who plays NFL fantasy or you know, some of the other you know, sports that, you know, motivation just drops a few percent once you finally get that big contract you've been chasing. And yeah, with Taylor May stinking up my side, it is a bit of an issue. Look, I think Lomax, he just seems dead set on playing centre. He's been named there this week for the Dragons, so good luck to him. But for owners, I think it is a concern playing centres because his output is less. Will his motivation be less? Look, I think with him, I'm not sure, because if he's been guaranteed that he's going to be playing centre, then he's probably got a little bit less to play for. But if he's going to play, you know, centre for any length of time for the Dragons, he's probably, you know, going to be out to prove the fact that, you know, he can kill it the way that he has been on the wing. So we'll have, it's a bit of a wait and see with Lomax. Terrell May, you know, you talked about Taylor May. Well, Terrell May has gotten, you know, his contract extension. He's been up and down a bit like a yo-yo this year, mostly good, but we'll have to see. And I think Joey Manu is just going to play hero ball regardless. So I don't think that's necessarily going to affect his output.
I think that's fair. Yeah, Joey Manu is the one I'm least worried about because he's an absolute stud, regardless of whatever he does. So, and then I think with Terrell, he's, I mean, Rob has pretty much said you need to earn your minutes there. And basically, the better Terrell plays, the more minutes he gets. So I think that will probably, you know, at the end of the day, they want to be on the field. They want to be playing footy. And I think he would probably be, yeah, rather be out there and sitting on the bench. Lomax is the one that does worry me. And keeping in mind, again, since round one, round two, I've been saying I want Lomax in my team, but I haven't gotten around to doing it. And now I'm like, well, it's too late now. Because if he does go to the Eels, I mean, it's not even the fact that he'll play center, most likely, if he is there. It's the fact that he won't goal kick. Not with Mitch Moses, with Clint Gutherson, who I think both are better kickers than Lomax in terms of percentage-wise. So that's a massive hit to his Supercoach stocks. But until then, I'm with you there. I don't think it's a major concern whether he's center or wing ultimately for the Dragons at the moment. I think he's definitely going to have a point to prove there.
Oh, you do have Mike Acevo sitting there on the outs at the Eels as well. So, I mean, there is a player playing the same position as Lomax that is a bit on the nose at the Eels. So, you know, that's not, you know, any kind of firm mail. It's just an obvious, you know, looking at the roster set up there. So there is a chance it happens.
That's fair. That's very fair. So jumping over to injuries, obviously, just focusing on the ones with significant Supercoach impact. If you obviously want a more thorough injury breakdown, shout out to the Magic Sponge podcast yet again, featuring our good friend NRL Physio. Definitely check it out if you want to know about injuries. But for us, look, the Hammer, probably the biggest one here, 4 to 6 weeks out. He's definitely a trade out. They've got Trey Fuller playing fullback. I think he had a game last year where he was decent without being amazing. I mean, I think ultimately this is going to have a negative impact on all the outside backs in terms of their ceilings for Supercoach, right, for the Dolphins?
Yeah, he has a Reece Walsh-like impact for the Dolphins in that, you know, he's got a gravity to him and you know, he scares defences in the same way. So, yeah, I do fear for the Dolphins' point scoring output for the outside back. Certainly someone like a Jack Bostock, I'm more likely to slide onto my non-playing reserves than have him in the team, which I have in recent weeks.
And I think for me, like, I've obviously got my eye on Jermaine Asako, but I think I'm probably going to be happy to look at him a little bit later once we see Hammer back or whatever and decide if I want to jump on for the buys then. Another Dolphin, Tom Flegler, look, he's gone from being touch and go to play last week for the Battle of Brisbane to now being out for another week. It's not a good sign, obviously. And I think, yeah, if you'd been patient, I do think he's you should move him on. The closer it gets to Origin, obviously, because he's probably going to be one of the key forwards for Queensland in terms of the middle forwards there. So, yeah, he's not that coupled with the Dolphins' bye schedule means he's a definite no-go over that Origin period. The next big injury here is obviously Kalen Ponga suffered an injury to his hip. He's been named, but it's obviously there's chat that he still isn't 100% guaranteed to play. They've got a long turnaround, which is going to help him, but there's chat that he might not goal kick for a week or two. Yeah, it's a little bit concerning to me, but I mean, I just can't see myself trading him out, hey?
Yeah, I don't think Ponga's a trade out. He's clearly impacted a bit by that hip pointer injury, but having gotten those back in my playing days, you know, if it stays warm through the week and you get that mobility back, I think, you know, hopefully he's not going to be too badly affected by it. So, yeah, I think he's still a genuine captaincy option this week. So, yeah.
All right. And then Ben Trbojevic confirmed grade one hamstring strain. He's out for 3 weeks and obviously he's got a fair history of hammy concerns along with his brother. So easy trade out, or I mean, I guess you could put him on the bench and still use his dual position for other trades for a little bit. But yeah, I don't think you need to be worrying about keeping him around if you need his cash. Jaden Campbell was another name that, you know, people obviously were looking at closely in the preseason. And I know some interest during, you know, the last few weeks with him getting some game time, but now he's torn his PCL. He's going to be out for at least 3 weeks, up to 6 weeks, potentially, depending on how rehab goes. I guess the flow-on effects there is obviously AJ Brimson now playing 5'8 instead of that center. You know, he looked pretty good. I think I'll say that. And available at center, but obviously playing 5'8.
Oh, I just avoid Titans, mate, until they kind of prove that they can get it turned around. You know, having Fifita start on an edge this week is a bit of a positive, you know, bit of progress for him. But yeah, I really worry for them from a Supercoach perspective. I just don't think the points are going to be there this year.
And then lastly, concussion protocol, a couple of head knocks again. So it's Tili Tupanua, Jack Bird, and also Cam Murray, even though he's on a bye. But those three guys failed HIAs this week, and they're into that mandatory 11-day stand down. Quickly on the judiciary, three players suspended this week, Sione Katoa and Josh Alloway, Oshay Ole, both gone for a game. And then Anthony Milford copping 2 weeks for his really late shot on Reece Walsh.
What a cameo that was.
It was. Look, he still had some really nice touches. I'll give him that much. But yeah, gosh, it's been a long, long time since he's looked actually really good on the field. But yeah, RIP Milford's Supercoach relevance. All right, let's take a look at some cheapies.
These aren't the cheapies you're looking for.
All right, green light, amber light, red light. I mean, you alluded to how many good cash cows we've been having. Kyle Iro, negative 76 break even. Tamara Martin, negative 59 break even. I can see these two being pretty much the two most popular trade-ins, right?
Yeah, I think Iro, definitely he seems to have, gotten that spot, on merit now. Tamari Martin, how long do you think the run is for him there until Metcalf gets back?
Yeah, they were saying Metcalf might be like late season. And while the Warriors still play well, and yeah, it seems like, Harris Tavita is more suited to being the 14 instead of the 6. So I think that's his spot, basically, unless Metcalf's healthy. And that might not be for a while.
5-8's a wasteland. We've spoken about it in previous pods. But, it really depends. A lot of people have Max Plath as there at 5-8. Most of us have Galvin there at 5-8. A lot of people with Dylan Brown, with Kyle Flanagan, there's a lot of kind of... For a position that's been so dire throughout the whole year, there are kind of the surplus of options there. So, if you can fit Tamari Martin in, it's probably got to be at 5-8 because it's almost certainly not going to be at fullback. But, yeah, that negative 59 break even is pretty tempting. And, the fact that he's averaging, in the 80s from his two games is makes him a pretty firm green light for me, but second to Iro.
He's been really good this year in terms of his work rate. Like last year when he played for it, he was often sitting around the 25 to 30, maybe low 30s in base and base attack. So far this year he's hit 44 and 42, which is fantastic. Negative 59 break even. Dragons this week, Titans next week, Knights the week after. I don't think I would want to. Yeah, it's a pretty comfortable, if you're getting him, I'd feel comfortable starting him in my 17 each of the next two, maybe even 3 weeks.
Just depends on who you'd be comfortable moving out for him. I wouldn't advise moving Galvin out, but do you move Max Plath, Dylan Brown? Who are these guys that you're moving out for Martin?
Yeah, I do think if obviously you got a Dylan Brown and Galvin combo, then Martin probably needs to go by the wayside. But a lot of us with Plath or even Strange in there, temporarily, it's an easy trade because you can dual position, shift those guys out and then bring Martin in quite easily. So for me, I could turn Blaze Talangi to Tamari Martin. I think I will do that this week. So, yeah. It obviously depends on your team, as always, but definitely there's options to be flexible there. But, I agree. Iro's the priority there. I'm glad to see that he's still playing center and they're putting the winger there. I imagine there would have been temptation for Fitzy to put Talakai back at center and Iro on the wing for a week, but I like that Iro's been kept at left center, basically. All right, moving to the amber lights. So let's start with Xavier Willison. So he's now 336K, coming off a very nice 80 score. I said it all week, he's got a nose for the line, and what'd he do? Straight away, pretty much score a try. Negative 12 break even now. Having said that, Payne Haas, he's not too far away. He's been already training. He's due back next round is my guess. So, yeah, I think... he's still a very viable trade-in at that price tag with a negative break-even.
Is he legitimately worth a trade from, I joked about Sam Hughes before. Is he legitimately worth the upgrade from Sam Hughes? I know negative 12 break-even, but, if Haas is back, he could go back to a 15, 20-minute bench roll.
Yeah, and that's why he's an amber light, right? So I think because of the negative break even, because of how he's looked on the field, he's a viable trade-in. I wouldn't be surprised if he crashes over for another trial two sometime in the next couple of weeks, and that's going to give him, you know, some nice cash generation. So I do think it might be worth a trade, but again, team specific, and it really depends what you've got in your 17 or, you know, at front row forward. So yeah, I just want to throw the name out there. Obviously, Bronson Sherry, another one there, 345k, also negative 12 break even. It's worth noting he does have a buy next week, and there's still no Blake Wilson in the team list. And I mean, look at the team list. Like Blake Taff, he's on the bench now, as well as Bailey Haywood. I think Serraldo's like two more guys, and then he's got a full bench full of utilities. And yeah, I mean, what's the plan here for Bronson Sherry? Do you trust it?
Well, wasn't that the plan all along, to just have a team fully bloody utilities, Gus Gould? Look, I think I was surprised that Cherry wasn't in the starting 13 in round one. You know, Gus Gould kind of took him under his wing and was a bit of a long-term project. Obviously, he was signed a couple of years ago for the Dogs, kind of in the middle of that four-year suspension. I think he's playing pretty well. Obviously, a bit of ring rust there, but negative 12 break even, he is going to go up. But let's see what happens. It is a buy next week, so it's not quite a free look because you're probably going to be paying high threes to 400 for him in 3 weeks' time. But you'll have more certainty around what's happening with Crichton. Obviously, Connor Tracy named at fullback, and you know, Blake Taff in the 17. So I just think things are pretty unsettled at the Bulldogs. Their results on paper haven't been too bad, but their performances have been. And I know as a Dogs fan, I haven't been particularly happy with how the team's been playing. So, and I think I'm not alone there. So, yeah, it could be some more choppy waters for Serraldo, despite kind of having some, I guess, Pyrrhic victories with the defeats that they've had in recent weeks.
Valiant losses.
Yes, something like that.
But yeah, encouraging for him was his work rate, I mean, which is obviously very, very nice. All right, the next name, I mentioned it before, Adam Mariota, 331K, negative 13 break even. Obviously, the Hosking injury allows him to start, but Elliot Whitehead, not too far away. He's in that range where it's viable. Tommy Talau, 312K, negative 2 break even. But seemingly, and I was surprised by this, he's now the preferred left winger. Jackson is the one who's been dropped, and yeah, Talau is getting those attacking stats starting to roll his way.
So Saab definitely sticks to the right, you believe?
Yeah, and I've never seen Saab play on the left wing since he's been at Manly, so I think he's definitely going back onto the right wing. I mean, DC's got that great combo with him. So yeah, Tommy Talau seems like pretty much locked in to be at left winger. And we know it's just, you know, the left wing finds attacking stats, basically. Couple other names. I've put them in the amber light because I still think they are potential downgrades. So, look, Jaden Brayley, 16 break even. So, not a negative break even, but 312K. I know some of the Danny Levi owners, you know, with this stinker of a score where he finally didn't score a try or get an attacking stat, they're probably looking for an exit. Brayley's minutes are slowly going up. His scores aren't setting the world on fire yet, but he hasn't really notched any attacking stats or anything like that. And you know, I think he's too good of a hooker to not find some sooner rather than later. We've seen in the 80-minute games he's played, generally he does find some line breaks and the occasional try assist. So, yeah, not an urgent move by any stretch of the imagination, but someone to consider, I think. I mean, do you still have Levi?
No, I moved him on and now have Marshall King and Coruscant in the hooking thing. As soon as I bring Marshall King in, he puts up his first stinker of the year, but yeah, I kind of gave up on the cheapy backup hooker and want to go with a couple of guns.
No, that's fair. That's a very nice combo to be rolling out there. Harley Smith-Shields from the Titans. I know, you know, your answer is already going to be no Titans, but 239K, negative 9 break even. Seems like he's got that center spot for now. But yeah, that's why he's an amber light. Again, low risk, but potentially low reward and some job security issues. Last name, Marmozelos from the Bulldogs. Marmozelos from the Rabbitohs. Yes, obviously Damien Cook's, you know, who knows if he comes back into the team. He's on the bye, so certainly not for this week, but 243K, negative 12 break even. Yeah, obviously just keep that on the watch list, basically, along with Jai Gray and Chevy Stewart. Obviously both played only one game. Decent debuts for both of them. obviously we just got to keep an eye on it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. It's South is still a mess despite, well, another valiant defeat, to use your term, last week. It would just beg a belief to me that Damien Cook's out of that team long term. I still think he is their best hooking option, but JD's going to JD, I think, and maybe they use the bye to do some team bonding stuff and get on the same page. But yeah, it's a bit of a wait and see, but even the best case scenario, I can't see him staying in the side long term.
Well, the chat is apparently, you know, after the bye, Gray gets two games to basically prove if he gets to keep that fullback spot or not. So talk about a baptism of fire when you have to go against the Storm and then the Panthers to trial for basically your number one jersey to keep Latrell Mitchell out of taking it back from you. So good luck, Jai. All right, let's take a quick break. This episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know one man every hour, every day is diagnosed with testicular cancer? In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer amongst men aged 15 to 35. With April being National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, our friends over at Manscaped have partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to help spread awareness for men's health and early cancer detection. Visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And, as always, you can use promo code CHAMPIONS for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. I wanted to take a second to talk about some men's health issues that are important to me. I think we all know some men in our life that, yeah, without early cancer prevention screening, they may not be around anymore. You might think it's awkward or it's uncomfortable or whatever it might be, but hey, a few minutes of awkwardness every now and then is probably better than a life cut short due to cancer. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying Manscaped products you can use every day, like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. The Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra features two interchangeable skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth and sleek. With dual LED spotlights, you'll achieve better visibility, making every trim more precise and hassle-free. Don't like making a mess? This thing is waterproof, so shave in the shower, in the bath, or in the ocean. And you can bring this trimmer wherever you go too, thanks to its wireless charging capabilities and travel lock feature. In addition to providing the right tools and solutions for comfortable and easy grooming, Manscaped is committing to raising awareness and giving support for fighters, survivors, and families impacted by testicular cancer. That is why they'll be donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. Help save lives and balls by going over to manscaped.com/TCS and sharing their funny, educational, check yourself video. And while you're at it, grab 20% off and free shipping using the code CHAMPIONS. Because like a famous American philosopher once said, take care of your children, your balls, and your mentals.
How excited am I this week? On a scale of 1 to 10, about 12 and a half. There's a whole bunch of guys there that you cannot underestimate.
Oh, team lists. I have them somewhere here with me.
Okay, we've alluded to plenty of the upcoming team changes, but we're just going to go through the list and call out anything that is particularly interesting. Kicking off with the Roosters' Storm, a barn burner of a game Thursday night at Allianz. Teddy's back at fullback, which is a bit of a bummer for the Manu owners, although I still think he'll do well at centre. Sam Walker's sitting there on the extended bench as he works his way back from a concussion. Over at the Storm, Sofa Solomona gets his first run of the year, and Joe Chan, that dreaded edge bench back rower. Role for us. So yeah, his time is probably going to be limited in our sides. Any call outs for this game, Wilf?
Not particularly, I guess. Sorry, no, it's probably a lie. I mean, Angus Crichton, probably the big talking point, right? He is primed. I mean, right now, the second most popular trade in. He's been in and out of my team as I decided. I mean, I think there's a very chalk combo, right? Crichton.
You talked me out of him last week. Told me to get to Katoa instead. So I paid 200 grand extra for like 50 less points.
I think it ended up being 30 less
points. Is that advice thing, Wilf? You're really...
Well, to be fair, I mean, I just thought the matchup was much better, but who knew the Bulldogs would actually turn up for once and Katoa would stink. But look, I'd back the draw still. It's a four-week play that Katoa was going to be there for and potentially for the rest of the season. But anyway, back to Angus Crichton, 459, 200, negative 22 break even. My issue is that because of the last few rounds, he's played 80 minutes, but I'm not sure whether or not he was meant to, basically, because of injuries, because of other rotational issues there that have probably left him playing 80 minutes. So I do think, and it just depends on how bullish you are. Like, you obviously can jump on. There's limited risk there. But if you're worried about trades, it's probably still worth waiting another week if you really wanted to make sure he's going to get 80 minutes, because they still obviously have, Egan Butcher on the bench. And we just know that Robbo loves rotating those back rollers. So that's my only hesitation there. But like I said, I've had him in and out of my team this week.
I think if you're going to pay kind of low to mid 500s for him, that's a lot closer to where his true value is. Obviously, 2020 hindsight last week was the week to get on. I tend to think, rather than waiting another week to see with the negative 22 break even, I think this is probably the last opportunity to get on at a good price.
I guess it just, I can see that. And I guess it depends whether we're going to get prime Angus, from his peak where he's going to be a 65 to 70 average, in which case you'd pay 500K for that, 550K even, right? So this is the great value where you can jump on. And I feel like it's minimal downside, right? Like, at the very least, he's going to go up in price for a couple of weeks. He'll cover the buys. I don't think he's getting back into the Origin team anytime soon. And, I think even if he's playing 60 minutes, he's still going to give you solid scores. So I do think he's a very safe option there. Jumping over to the Storm side, I guess Sean Bloor, similar kind of price tag. And the question is obviously, do we trust his minutes? He had a decent score and played 80 minutes this week. He's played pretty big minutes when he's gotten a chance. But I don't know. Do you feel like Sean Bloor is a valid option?
Look, I think given some of the cheapy options that we've been discussing, even kind of into the mid-range, I think 490K is too expensive for the amount of risk that that Bloor comes with. It's obviously Chan started the year ahead of him. He has been named on the bench, but he is kind of coming back from that injury. So there's, a 30% chance that Chan overtakes him for next week. So I just think the job security is not what you'd want to be spending 490K on.
I don't disagree, but I guess you can throw that back to Angus Crichton, right? Because similarly, he wasn't even in the team initially, and there were two other back rowers preferred ahead of him, and now he's obviously overtaken them, and one of them's out because of a concussion mandatory stand down. So yeah, I guess similar kind of risk in a sense, but.
Yeah. No, look, you're probably right. And I probably am leaning a little hard on Gus's pedigree there, because he has done it, for so many years as a Supercoach gun. So, yeah, if you change their names or kind of de-identified the players, it's probably a lot closer, but I'd still have Crichton head.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I just thought I'd throw it out there for, consideration. I think for us with Chan, I mean, certainly you're not jumping on. Like, I'll whack him as a red light there. But with a -10 break even off the bench, like, you hope you're not needing to loop, but it'll give you a chance to get some cash out of him so that you're not feeling absolutely wasteful when you trade him out eventually.
Yeah, exactly. All right, next game, Dragons Warriors. We've kind of gone over some of these changes. Lomax, obviously, it's center bringing to a Pilotu. In on the wing, the Warriors are 1-17, with the exception of Adam Pompey coming onto the bench for Jazz Tavunga. Yeah, all aboard to the Tamari Martin train. I think the Dragons have been susceptible, their edge defence. So I think, both Sean Johnson and Tamari Martin could feast this week. And it is obviously now or never with that negative 59 break even for him.
Yeah, definitely. And I think now you mentioned Sean Johnson, I think that's an interesting consideration, right? If you have SJ in your team already, does that kind of potentially mean you're not as locked into bringing Tamari Martin in as well, to have both halves, and you might probably be playing both halves?
If you're bringing Tamari Martin in, I think you're bringing him in to play him as well, obviously. But they are a different, price category, obviously. And Sean Johnson, after somehow a career year last year, is backing it up as well. So I think they're both viable options unto themselves, but it is extra risk having both.
Yeah, all in on the Warriors, right? Up the Waz.
But obviously, they don't play the round 13 bye, which again needs to start to be a consideration, with our trade-ins week on week.
Would you think, and I'm asking for a friend potentially, like, rather than going with like an Angus Crichton, a Sean Bloor or someone mid-range that way, what if you were to spend one of your trades on maybe like an Adam Fanua Blake, who might be a season-long keeper, and a pretty nice price, and I think a chance of crashing over at least once, or if not twice, over the next few weeks.
He's a rich man, Xavier Willison, for Noah Blake. no, look, he has proven himself now coming on. You know, it's probably 3 years now. He's an elite super coach option, right up there with the Payne Haases. So you want at least one of them in your side at some point. And I think if you bring him in, you bring him in for the whole year. So, yeah, I'll never dissuade someone from bringing in an AFB, because you're doing that just to lock in your final side that little bit earlier.
Yeah, I've got a Tevita Totola-sized hole that I need to replace in my team sooner rather than later. But, yeah, let's move on to the next game. Eels and Dolphins. This one's up in Darwin. So the Eels, obviously we've talked about Blaise Talangi back on the bench, super sub, thanks to Brad Arthur. And Tua Lange is the one who's dropping out. Mike Acevo is still in the outer there, but otherwise it's a pretty steady team from... Yeah, I mean, I tipped them. I didn't know why they were outsiders last week. I genuinely thought they were a good shot against the Cowboys. So I didn't really think it was an upset.
Not too big an upset. I probably favoured the Cowboys, and I did tip the Cowboys, but yeah, not surprised. And look, the Eels, it's Darwin's their home away from home. They play there, I think, every year. So they're a little bit more accustomed, and the Dolphins are coming in pretty undercooked with, you know, we talked about Hammer being out. Obviously, Herbie Farnworth is still out. It's going to be interesting. Plath comes back playing at lock, pushing Stone to the bench. I think Sean O'Sullivan's a much better option off the bench than Anthony Milford is. And, yeah, I still think there'll be some points in the Dolphins, but just, you know, the Hammer makes so many players around him so much better. So I think I'd downgrade all my Dolphins to a decent degree.
Yeah, I imagine Bostock to Iro might be a really popular trade this week. So that's the one I'm actually doing myself. But yeah, I'm with you. I think there's just too many outs, unfortunately, for the Dolphins for them to, you know, really be super coach relevant for much longer. I do think Marshall King's a good shout though, and despite the down score from last week, I think he's gonna be a genuine option for the rest of the season. So for those of us who are patient, maybe it's a good chance to nab him for a little bit cheaper in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, great buy schedule as well. Next game, Panthers-Tigers. Sorensen comes back on the Panthers' edge, pushing Garner to the bench. At the Tigers, Galvin makes his long-awaited return from suspension in the sixth jersey. Blast from the past, Brenton Hayden comes back into centre. Bateman's back from injury on the edge, and you've got Seyfarth and the two Fainu boys on the bench. It'll be an interesting game, but with Cleary still out, that's probably less of an interest for me from a Taylor May perspective. I guess Dylan Edwards is going really well for the Panthers, though.
I mean, it's hard to argue, right? Basically, he's like on three tons in a row, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
and
he's on fire.
You know, goal kicking. Who would have thought? He's such a dead eye. What can't this guy do?
Yeah, I know. That was a weird one, wasn't it?
What can't this guy do?
It's like it's the shaved head has kind of taken him up yet another level. You know, Clive Churchill medalists, and now the hair's gone, and yeah, he's killing it. 832K though is pretty extreme, but three round average of 99, yeah, can't argue with it.
And the better he plays, the closer he gets to an Origin spot, I reckon. So yeah, I think that's the downside.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, that's probably the downside. I mean, Teddy started the year well, but yeah, I think they'll definitely be looking to see, you know, what he does in the next couple of weeks now that he's back, because on form, it pretty much has to be Edwards, right? Over at the Tigers, I mean, you're playing Appy if you've got him. Galvin is probably on the fringy 17 this week.
I think I'm going to sit him if I can, just because it's the Panthers. But, I mean, his work rate's been really good. So it could just be that he's going to give you another 45, 50 score, which is nothing to sneeze at. But, yeah, it's certainly not a must play, and you might have by now better options out there.
Yeah, hopefully, and even my side ranked 63K is probably the case for me this week. Titans-Seagulls, the next game. Philip Sammy, as you mentioned earlier, is back at fullback. David Fifita, named to start, but, you know, Dez has been playing ducks and drakes with what happens there, so he could come off the bench. For the Seagulls, they welcome back a whole heap of troops. Matt Lodge comes back, Garrick's back, Saab is back, as you mentioned, on that right wing. And bloke that's pretty much turned into a cult hero at Brookie, Nathan Brown on the bench.
I thought you were about to say Luke Brooks for a second.
not, no, not yet. Not that far.
Look, I think this is an interesting one, right? Because I know, look, Tommy Turbo is probably my captain this week. I'm just going to put that out there straight up. But Ruben Garrick, yeah, he's coming back from concussion, stand down. He's been on fire basically all year, and he's got a one in his rolling average. He's got a break even of 141, but this is possibly, you know, the best matchup you can get. And next week's great as well. So do you just jump on? I know a lot of people are looking at it as a real pod move. And I guess if money's no issue, like he's under 700K, so he's not like breaking the bank for someone of his quality.
Yeah, he's kind of bucked the trend of centers being a bit of a black hole for Supercoach points, that he's not quite scoring exactly where he was when he was playing on the wing, but maintaining some pretty nice Supercoach scores there. Yeah, the one in the rolling average means that you're really balancing points versus cash, right? I mean, there's a good chance you'll get him for 610, 620 in a couple of weeks, but, you know, those, you know, Gold Coast, Parramatta, into Canberra, and then the Dolphins are his next four. So, yeah, very, very attractive possibility there.
I do think, you know, the percentage play in terms of dollars, yeah, you wait 2 weeks, right, till that one drops out. But I guess there's some real appeal in jumping on Garrick as a pod this week where, I mean, his ownership is 10%, and I can't see that many people keen to jump on while he's got 141 break even. So, yeah, just a bit of a pod play. I can get around it, basically, as long as your cash is rolling in elsewhere in your team.
Yeah, and great shout for Tommy Turbo as captain this week. Broncos, Raiders. Broncos are 1-17, and Raiders, you mentioned, Mariota's on the edge for Hosking, and Schiller gets the start again. Hopewade out for at least another week with that injury. You're probably not playing him, though. I mean, a lot of us did get Schiller in, and he did pretty well for us, although he did score two tries for that score. Probably a sit like a Galvin based on matchup.
I think so. And having said that, he's against Corey Oates, who is probably the weak link defensively. Still likes to jam in, still got, you know, hands for feet, feet for hands. I mean, still has feet for hands when he wants to drop the ball a million times. So, you know, if he drops it into Schiller's lap and Schiller scores a try, I would not be surprised at all. But on the percentages, you'd probably sit him if you can avoid having to play him. Like, I'd play Iroh ahead of him, for example.
Yeah, that's a really good shout, assuming that we're all bringing Iroh in this week. So let's round the week off. Bulldogs Knights at Accor Stadium. Blake Taff, as you mentioned, in the 17 jersey. Curtis Moran comes onto the bench for the Dogs, and the Knights are 1-17 with Ponga being a kind of a, you know, nurse that hip point or injury throughout the week. The big unpleasant surprise for me, though, was Greg Marju was named. Yay! He played on the right wing. Boo. What do we do with Marju? Break even of 141. I know we've got all these great cheapies and cash isn't a big issue, but he's down to 708K. He's going to hemorrhage, I don't know, could hemorrhage another 70, 80K this week, maybe even more. Is it time to get off Marju if he's going to stay in that right wing?
Just don't think you can get off him while he's got the Bulldogs and Dolphins next two matchups, right? I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Basically. You've been so patient. Yes, it stinks. And you'd hope that they're going to change it up, basically, because he just looks so lost. Like, we criticized his defense last year, but he actually got better on the left wing because he was able to build combination there with Bradman and just be, you know, used to being on the left. So now he's on the right, and he looks like he's genuinely lost at times. And it was just horrible watching him trying to defend on there. So I don't trust Adam O'Brien the best of times, but surely he's seen enough to fix that and put Marju back on the left. And in that case, then there's no way you're trading him out against the Bulldogs and Dolphins next two rounds.
Yeah, holding Marju is those thing. You know, one of those things in hindsight seems like genius if it comes off, but also puts you into 63K when it doesn't come off. I think, you know, from all reports, Ponga is, you know, working through that hip injury. I think the Bulldogs, they're going to give up points. You know, that's the one thing we know, that they probably can score a few, and particularly that left edge with, you know, Viliami kick out, just wrecking right side defences. But they do let them in. So Tommy Turbo or Ponga are probably two of my outstanding captaincy choices this week.
The only thing I will throw in there is that what happens if Ponga is a laid out? And I know you'd hopefully get some advance notice of that. But I'm looking at the last four games. Let's say final teams, he drops out of the 17. Like I'm obviously thinking worst case scenario here. Who are you going to play from the Bulldogs, Sharks or Cowboys that you didn't already have in your 17?
Well, I have two choices. Thanks for asking. I have Drew Hutchison or Sam Hughes. Woo, baby.
Sam Hughes is starting, I guess. Although he was named to start and then he got swapped to the bench, didn't he?
Well, I mean, and he actually played quite well. He just got that sin bin, which you know, knocked his score and playing time down a bit. So I'm an optimist with Sam Hughes. You know, for God's sake, never in my 17 if at all possible. But, you know, as a cash cow, I think he's slightly turning around. Drew Hutchison's a complete lost cause, and I can't believe I started with him in my round one team, but there you go.
Hey, he's made cash. Like he's made like 60 grand.
Yeah, and he's going to drop some of that. So he gave back some of it last week and he's going to give even more of it back. So, yeah, pretty crappy cash cow if you ask me.
It's better than some of the other ones I had in my team. But I think my issue is I was hoping to be trading him to Nathan Cleary this round, and right now I'm a little bit lost because this trade's not happening when I had it penciled in 2 weeks ago.
And, yeah, you're stuck with Hutchison. You're as lost as Greg Mangio on the right wing, mate. Okay, so last game of the round. We've got Sharks up against the Cowboys. Sione Katoa is serving the suspension. You mentioned that. So Sam Stone Street comes in. Otherwise, the Sharks are pretty much unchanged. Hammond Wellies on the bench for his first game of the season, giving it a little bit of starch to that Sharks middle. And Semi Valame is in for Taulagi with a hamstring injury. So the Cowboys, they can look really, really good. They can look pretty terrible. And the Sharks are pretty much the same. What's your read on this game?
I find it really hard to get a read on this game. But firstly, I think we have to give credit to one of the great names in rugby league. Sam Stone Street is right up there with Scott Drinkwater.
Yeah, weirdly on the NRL website, he's Samuel Stone Street, and I don't know if that's better or worse.
Yeah, I don't know, but I just thought, I read it, I'm like, I like it, I like that name. But yeah, like I said, I think the reason I like it more is that it's kept Ira at left centre, and it allows me to purchase him with a little bit more confidence. I think I've seen enough of Ira to trust that he's going to be good enough to hold that spot long term. Because he looks like a genuine gun.
Yeah. And the issue with Talakai has always been defence. And, you know, even being a relative rookie, Iro's come in and you know, being a bit more defensively sound than what Talakai has. You know, there was always kind of that thought that Talakai's kind of destiny was as, you know, either a permanent edge back rower or kind of utility off the bench. And I think that's where his position is.
For the Cowboys, though, I think they just continue to struggle away from Townsville, right? Anytime, especially when they have to go down to Sydney, they just don't perform as well. And I worry for them this game. I think the Sharks are going to – I've got the Sharks tipped to win this one pretty comfortably at this stage.
Yeah, they definitely look better coming off the bye. Still not – you know, the combinations aren't quite clicking. I mean, who would have thought that – you know, you take Matt Moylan out of that back line and all of a sudden it's, you know, looking a lot less cohesive as what it did last year. But, yeah, look, they're slowly building, and I guess you want to be playing your best football at the end of the year, not the start. So, you know, I think in Fitzy we trust as a coach. It's just whether Nico we trust as a captaincy option.
I'm going to throw one last spicy thing to consider and then we'll wrap it up. Scott Drinkwater, 898,900. Break even of just 70, so he's been scoring really well, right? 3-round average of 94, 5-round average of just under 90. I think he's a trade out this week if you have the luxury to trade him out. If you don't have Turbo, Drinky down to Turbo, freeing up 100K just to eject from this game. And then it's the fact that the following week, the Cowboys then have to go up against Panthers. So
It is at home, though. So they've got the Panthers and Dolphins at home, into the Titans, then South, then West. So, I mean, yes, Penrith, not so great, but it is at home. And then they've got four of the softest games in their schedule. So, yeah, I mean, I totally get what you're saying. You know, if you can bank 900 grand, or 100 grand, sorry, and, you know, bring Tommy Turbo into your side, it's pretty good. But super, super team dependent, I think.
Absolutely. And that's what I was saying. It's a very, very luxurious trade, but certainly I can get around a 2 week swap, right? Drinky to Turbo, then Turbo back to Drinky in 2 weeks. Could be like a 150K swing. So justifying the trade with cash and also potentially a heap more points too. So I don't know, just throwing it out there. Obviously not an option for me because I've got Turbo and Ponga at the moment, but yeah.
It is interesting. Look, before we wrap up the teams for the week though, just on the Cowboys, a little bit less dependent on matchup, but what would you be doing with Ruben Cotter?
I just think you probably were signing up to get roughly this, right? I don't know what, because you've got Cotter, right?
I do, but I honestly thought I'd be getting 7 to 8 to maybe 10 points more than what I'm getting. He's playing kind of low 60s minutes, and I really thought he was going to be playing around 70, which is, you know, it makes all the difference between someone who's just sitting there on your side and then someone who's a genuine gun. And he probably looks to be about 5% kind of less dynamic than what he was when he kind of exploded onto the scene last year. So, yeah, it's just one of those things where at the moment he's not even close to my top two or three kind of needs to trade out, but he's also just kind of slightly disappointing.
Yeah, and I think that's what it comes down to, right? Like, he's not injured, he's not suspended, he's playing, he's scoring you. You know, I mean, if your worst score for the year is 46, like, surely got bigger issues, and I know you've got bigger issues to fix than that. I do think I do think come Origin time, obviously he's gonna have to go because he's not gonna help you. And yeah, I just think, I mean, I said in the preseason that I thought this is basically what you're gonna get from Cotter unless you're really confident he's playing 70 to 80. I guess that's what you banked on, and unfortunately he's giving you what I expected.
Well, weirdly, I knew that Tamalolo would play increasingly kind of less minutes year on year, and that's largely been the case. But I didn't realise that, you know, Peyton would be playing that same game with Cotter. You know, when they're up, when they've been up big, Cotter's one of the guys he pulls to rest. So, yeah, that's probably the one thing that I didn't anticipate, that the Cowboys would be up big in a bunch of games and Peyton would pull players like Cotter off to give a rest. So, yeah, that's probably where a fair bit of those minutes have gone. But, yeah, pretty mediocre to start the year.
And it's gone the other way too, right? When they've been down, like, and the game's gone, he's just come off and not gone back on. Yeah. So I think that's the danger when you're one of the key guys who has to be good and fit and healthy come end of season. And, you know, your coach knows you're going to be playing Origin as well. So he's going to have to nurse you through that period. So, yeah, I do think that's one of the downsides of Ruben Cotter, who, I mean, look, don't get me wrong, I love the guy as a player. I really do enjoy watching him, especially when he runs out for Queensland. But yeah, for Supercoach, just doesn't quite get it done for me.
Yeah, well, he's had a sneaky attacking stat in him up until this year, and that hasn't really come off. So yeah, little bit of a problem for Cotter owners like myself. But look, we've gone pretty deep on the teams. Let's get to the group comp.
So for the update on our group competition. So right now we have our $500 Champs Only Bones leader also leading this competition. That's Alex again from Team Rugby League Realm. Overall rank of 29. So because Alex is a champ, he will not only win the $500 for this, but also $500 for winning the champs prize as well. So that'll be $1,000 for Alex if he keeps that up for the rest of the season. But there's a few other names close on his heels. I've been looking at the rankings, like 37, 52, 88. And 88's another one of our champs, actually, Nat, the coach of Turbros. Turbros. It cracks me up every time I read that name. But anyway, so it's going to be a hot, hot competition. Lots real close for the rest of the season, I think. So, yeah, congrats to those up the pointy end. And obviously, if you come second now, overall comp here, you're going to get a C Pro sub for next year. Thanks to our friends at Rugby League Fantasy Pro. And, yeah, check that out at rugbyleaguefantasypro.com for more info about what that has. But, yeah, we talked about it in the past. I mean, it's an absolute cheat code, basically, for head-to-head 100%. Competitions. Just, yeah. Anyway, thanks for listening, everyone. I think I'm going to have troubles working out my trades this week. I've backflipped like 3 or 4 times already. I don't know about you.
There's 4 trades I want to make, and I've used 3 boosts already. And I mean, I need to get more mileage out of the fact that you use your boost up so early this year. So that might be the reason why I don't use one this week. Got to lord it over you, mate.
I've still got 2. What are you talking about?
Well, I just meant last year you were out.
Oh, right. After, I was out, like, by now.
You know, yeah.
I'm pretty much going to use one this week, though. I'm locking that in.
Yeah, I know. I'm thinking I might have to as well. There's just too much money to be made this week. And I think they're with people that will actually perform on the field as well. It's not just kind of cash cows that you're just going to stash on the bench. So they're players that if I'm bringing them in, I'm probably playing them as well.
Yeah, and I think there's a very clear chalk combo of Angus, Tamari Martin and Iro that I think a lot of people will boost and bring in those three. And I can't fault it, right? They're very good trades, basically. But I think with that, with such chalk in terms of your options, there's a real opportunity to pot up, and that's where you're going to chase the likes of, you know, a drinky downgrade to Turbo or trading Ruben Garrick in with a 141 break-even or thereabouts. So, yeah. Anyway, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you guys again soon.
See you guys.